They had legal, legitimate evidence of child abuse and did nothing. If they're not going to protect me, I want to know, who are they trying to protect? What's even more upsetting to me is that we know that these FBI agents have committed an obvious crime. They falsified my statement, and that is illegal in itself. Yet no recourse has been taken against them. The Department of Justice refused to prosecute these individuals. Why? Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco couldn't even bring herself to be here today, and it is the Department of Justice's job to hold them accountable. I am tired of waiting for people to do the right thing, because my abuse was enough, and we deserve justice. These individuals clearly violated policies and were negligent in executing their duties, and in doing so, more girls were abused by Larry Nassar for over a year. To not indict these agents is a disservice to me and my teammates. It is a disservice to the system, which was built to protect all of us from abuse. It was a disservice to every victim who suffered needlessly at the hands of Larry Nassar after I spoke up. Why are public servants whose job is to protect getting away with this? This is not justice. Enough is enough. Today, I ask you all to hear my voice. I ask you, please do all that is in your power to ensure that these individuals are held responsible and accountable for ignoring my initial report, for lying about my initial report, and for covering up for a child molester. In closing, I would like to express my deep gratitude to the United States Senate, a very powerful institution that from the very beginning has fought for us rather than against us. Thank you, and I welcome any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Maroney. Ms. Nichols?
Chair Durbin, Ranking Member Grassley, and distinguished members of the Judiciary Committee, thank you for inviting me to speak to you today, and I want to personally thank you for your commitment to prioritizing athlete safety and holding accountable those responsible for athlete safety. I was named as Gymnast 2 in the Office of Inspector General's report and previously identified as Athlete A by USA Gymnastics. I want everyone to know that this did not happen to Gymnast 2 or to Athlete A. It happened to me, Maggie Nichols. I first started gymnastics when I was 3, and since I was a child, I always had the dream of competing for my country in the World Championships and Olympic Games. I was an elite level gymnast by the age of 13, and by the time I was 14, I made the national team. I traveled internationally for 4 years, attending competitions, and in 2015 at the World Championships, representing our country, where I won a gold medal. My Olympic dreams ended in the summer of 2015 when my coach and I reported Larry Nassar's abuse to USAG leadership. I went on to compete at the University of Oklahoma, where I was named first team All-American in the all-round in all four events and was an 8-time national champion. I reported my abuse to USA Gymnastics over 6 years ago, and still, my family and I received few answers and have even more questions about how this was allowed to occur and why dozens of other little girls and women at Michigan State had to be abused after I reported. In sacrificing my childhood for the chance to compete for the United States, I am haunted by the fact that even after I reported my abuse, so many women and girls had to suffer at the hands of Larry Nassar. USA Gymnastics and the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee and the FBI have all betrayed me and those who were abused by Larry Nassar after I reported. The cover-up of my abuse and the FBI's failure to interview me for more than a year after my complaint are well documented in the OIG report. After I reported my abuse to USA Gymnastics, my family and I were told by their former president, Steve Penny, to keep quiet and not say anything that could hurt the FBI investigation. We now know there was no real FBI investigation occurring. While my complaints with the FBI, Larry Nassar continued to abuse women and girls. During this time, the FBI issued no search warrants and made no arrests. From the day I reported my molestation by Nassar, I was treated differently by USAG. Not only did the FBI fail to conduct a thorough investigation, but they also knew that USAG and the USOPC created a false narrative where Larry Nassar was allowed to retire, with his reputation intact, and return to Michigan State University, thus allowing dozens of little girls to be molested. As the Inspector General's report details, during this time period, FBI agents did not properly document evidence failed to report to proper authorities, and the special agent in charge was seeking to become the new director of security for the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee, a job opportunity raised by Steve Penny. Afterwards, FBI agents in charge of the investigation lied to OIG investigators about what had happened. This conduct by these FBI agents, including the special agent in charge, who are held in high regard and expected to protect the public, is unacceptable, disgusting, and shameful. This committee produced a report in 2019 titled The Courage of Survivors, A Call to Action. It found that the U.S. Olympic Committee and USAG and the national governing body designated by USOC and administer amateur gymnastics failed to adequately respond to credible allegations against Nassar. Similarly, the OIG report found that senior FBI officials lied to the inspector general, engaged in serious conflicts of interest, and tried to cover up one of the biggest child sexual abuse scandals in the history of amateur sports. Both reports uncovered serious and possibly criminal misconduct by those at the highest level of the Olympic Committee, our sport, and the FBI. Despite these findings of serious and criminal misconduct throughout the FBI, USAG, and USOPC, no accountability has occurred. An important question remains, perhaps the most important question, why? Why would the FBI agents lie to OIG investigators? Why would the FBI not properly document evidence that was received? Why would the FBI agent be interested in the USAG presidency? These questions remain unanswered. And the survivors of Larry Nassar have a right to know why their well-being was placed in the jeopardy by these individuals who chose not to do their jobs. To date, no one from the FBI, the USOPC, or USAG has faced federal charges other than Larry Nassar. For many hundreds of survivors of Larry Nassar, this hearing is one of our last opportunities to get justice. We ask that you do what is in your power to ensure those that engaged in wrongdoing are held accountable under the law.
Thank you, Ms. Nichols. Ms. Reisman.
I want to begin by thanking the Judiciary Committee, including Chairman Durbin and Ranking Member Grassley, for their commitment to seeking the truth for the hundreds, if not thousands, who were systematically abused by Larry Nassar, and for this committee's diligence to demand accountability regarding federal law enforcement's misconduct. I also want to express my gratitude to the other brave survivors here today, my friends and my teammates, for sharing their stories and continuing to press for justice and reform. Over the past few years, it has become painfully clear how a survivor's healing is affected by the handling of their abuse. And it disgusts me that we are still fighting for the most basic answers and accountability over 6 years later. In 2015, it was known that at least 6 national team athletes had been abused by Nassar. There was even one of the athletes that was abused on film. Given our abuser's unfettered access to children, stopping him should have been a priority. Instead, the following occurred. The FBI failed to interview pertinent parties in a timely manner. It took over 14 months for the FBI to contact me, despite my many requests to be interviewed by them. The records established that Steve Penny, FBI agent Jay Abbott, and their subordinates worked to conceal Nassar's crimes. Steve Penny arranged with the FBI to conduct my interview at the Olympic Training Center, where I was under the control and observation of USA Gymnastics and the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee. The day of my interview, Steve Penny flew to the Olympic Training Center, and he made sure I was aware he was there. I felt pressured by the FBI to consent to Nassar's plea deal. The agent diminished the significance of my abuse and made me feel my criminal case wasn't worth pursuing. special agent in charge of investigating Nassar, met Steve Penny for beers to discuss job opportunities in the Olympic movement. Another FBI agent worked with Steve Penny to determine jurisdiction without interviewing the survivors. I've watched multiple high-ranking officials at USAG, USOPC, and FBI resign or retire without explanation of how they may have contributed to the problem, some of whom were publicly thanked for their service and rewarded with severance or bonus money. My reports of abuse were not only buried by USAG, USOPC, but they were also mishandled by federal law enforcement officers who failed to follow their most basic duties. The FBI and others within both USAG and USOPC knew that Nassar molested children and did nothing to restrict his access. Steve Penny and any USAG employee could have walked a few steps to file a report with the Indiana Child Protective Services since they shared the same building. Instead, they quietly allowed Nassar to slip out the side door, knowingly allowing him to continue his work at MSU, Sparrow Hospital, a USAG club, and even run for school board. Nassar found more than 100 new victims to molest. It was like serving innocent children up to a pedophile on a silver platter. Why did none of these organizations warn anyone? USAG and USOPC have a long history of enabling abuse by turning a blind eye. Both organizations knew of Nassar's abuse long before it became public, although you wouldn't know that by reading their press releases, which would have you and their corporate sponsors believe that athlete safety comes first. Mm-hmm. We have called for a fully independent, factual investigation for years now, because I and these women who sit before you know firsthand these organizations and their public statements are not to be trusted. They claim they want accountability, but then seek to restrict which staff can be interviewed, which documents can be examined, and claim attorney-client privilege over and over again. The so-called investigations these organizations orchestrated were not designed to provide the answers we so critically need. Why are we left to guess why USAG and USOPC deliberately ignored reported abuse? Was it to protect the value of the sponsorships? The LA 28 bid? Their own jobs? To avoid criminal liability? Perhaps. But why must we speculate when the facts are obtainable and the stakes are so high? Why would duly sworn federal law enforcement officers ignore reports of abuse by a doctor across state lines and country borders for a future job opportunity? Or were there additional incentives and pressures? Why must we speculate when the facts are obtainable and the stakes are so high? Just as it is naive to assume the problem only rests with Nassar, it is unrealistic to think we can grasp the full extent of culpability without understanding how and why USAG and USOPC chose to ignore abuse for decades, and why the interplay among these three organizations led the FBI to willingly disregard our reports of abuse. Without knowing who knew what when, we cannot identify all enablers or determine whether they are still in positions of power. We just can't fix a problem we don't understand. And we can't understand the problem unless and until we have all of the facts. If we don't do all we can to get these facts, the problems we are here to address will persist, and we are deluding ourselves if we think other children can be spared the institutionalized tolerance and normalization of abuse that I and so many others had to endure. I thank you for your time, your commitment, and your genuine concern for those survivors who relied on the FBI to do the right thing. I welcome any questions and comments, and I will answer them to the best of my ability. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Reisman. I've been in a lot of committee hearings. I can't remember compelling testimony like we've heard this morning ever before, because you had the courage to come up and tell the world what happened to you. It is heartbreaking to think what you have been through. I thank you for being here. We have a job to do, and we know it. It begins with this hearing, the accountability of the FBI and the Department of Justice and all of law enforcement when it comes to abuse cases such as those that you have endured personally. But there's an historic element here in that your audience includes young people like yourself who are victims and survivors themselves. I have 1 minute in question, and my question basically to the panel, anyone who cares to respond. What would you say to other young athletes who may be suffering in silence or wrestling with the decision about whether to speak out? Ms. Reisman?
The first thing that I would want to say to anybody that's watching this that's suffering in silence or has been through something really traumatic is that I support them, I believe them, and just be patient with yourself, be kind to yourself, know that I'm struggling too, I'm still navigating how to heal from this. And healing is a roller coaster. There are some days I feel better. Some days I feel like I'm taking a bunch of steps backwards, and that's okay. We're all human. We're all doing the best that we can. But I would encourage whoever is out there that's listening to tell someone whenever they feel comfortable. And it's so important to have a good support system and a community around you. And if you're someone out there that doesn't have a good support system, that's okay. Sometimes it can take some time to find a good support system. So I encourage you to not give up until you find that support that you deserve. And just remember that I believe you, I support you, you are not alone, and I encourage you to ask for help.
Anyone else on the panel?
I think it's really important to look at the connection between the FBI, USA Gymnastics, and the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee. And we cannot believe that there's a safer future for children unless we fully understand every single thing that happened. And USA Gymnastics does say that they've done investigations, but those were not completely independent, and the scope of the investigation matters. Nobody should be off limits. Nothing should be off limits. It should go back decades, and that has not been done, and it's been something that we've been asking for years and years. And so I personally would like to see all three organizations completely investigated, and the scope of it matters, because until we know all the facts, it's just guesswork. And I hope you guys feel the same way about as I do, that if we're thinking about children going into gymnastics or sports, I don't want to be guessing that they're going to be okay. I want to know with 100% certainty that somebody that looked the other way for us isn't still in a position of power. And so I think the investigation is crucial. And until that, I don't have any faith that things will get better in the sport.
Okay, if no one else wants to go beyond that, I'll go to my last question. I hope this isn't something so sensitive you don't feel you can talk about it, but do you have any thoughts or inputs to share about Safe Sport, the national nonprofit entity that has been tasked by Congress with handling allegations from amateur athletes?
Yeah, I personally think Safe Sport is, I'm trying to be respectful here. I don't like Safe Sport. I hear from many survivors that they report their abuse, and it's like playing hot potato where someone else kicks it over to somebody else and they don't hear back for a really long time. I think a really big issue is that Safe Sport is funded by USA Gymnastics or the United States Olympic Committee. I'm not sure exactly what the correct terminology is, but if you're Safe Sport and you are funded by the organization you're investigating, it's not they're likely not going to do the right thing. And so I think that it needs to be completely separate. And I personally think safe sport needs a lot of work. And I know from many survivors and, you know, my mom has personally reported things to safe sport, and we've followed up so many times. They say we can't help you, or they either ignore us or pass it on to somebody else. And the person they pass it on to says they kick it back to them. It's just a complete mess. And the priority doesn't seem to be safety and well-being of athletes. It seems to be protecting USA Gymnastics and doing everything to keep the PR good.
Yeah, I agree. Nobody really wants to be held accountable, and nobody really knows who to hold accountable. So I think in order to help, there needs to be a specific person who is in charge of protecting these athletes, and it falls on them when they're not. And instead of it being passed around and everyone just being like, oh, we don't know what happened, whose job was that? There needs to be a specific job for that.
Thank you. I now call on Senator Leahy and remind my colleagues we're trying to make this question period concise, so please do your best.
I want to thank you all for having the courage to come here today. I can only imagine how painful it is to relive these experiences, but I think that the resilience, the perseverance you're showing the world today is incredibly admirable. And I hope that young survivors who see this, who feel powerless to tell their stories, will feel, yes, here's an example, they should tell it. But I think it has to be far more than just telling the stories. I mean, obviously, like Senator Durbin, I've been on this committee for a long time, and I cannot think of anything so moving. And we're going to hear senators and others talk about accountability and justice today. But what does genuine accountability look like to you? When do you feel justice will be done for the injustices you suffered? That really should be the question we have today. And I'd like to hear from all of you on that. When do you feel justice will be done? And what does genuine accountability look like?
You want to try that one?
Yeah, sure. Well, first, going back to, I probably sound like a broken record, but I'm going to try. Hopefully today will be the one that this time I say it, it actually happens. But for me, accountability looks like, first of all, I think that obviously this should have never happened. One time being abused is too many, one child being abused is too many, but I think a complete and full independent investigation of the FBI, USA Gymnastics, and the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee, and then from there, then we will know the answers of who should be held accountable. I also think that there needs to be, when we think about a new USA Gymnastics or a new United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee, survivors need to be in the room. They need to be able to be, they need to feel, we need to feel like we are not adversaries to USA Gymnastics, and we need to feel like our voices matter, that they care, that they want to actually be a part of the change that we so desperately want. I think that I'm not trying to speak for them, but I imagine we all feel that it is crazy for me to try to wrap my head around. All we are asking for is that when a child goes into gymnastics or goes to school or does anything, that they can be spared abuse. And the fact that we've been treated like adversaries by so many organizations and our abuse has been diminished. We've been victim shamed online over and over again. We've been gaslit. We've been made to feel that we don't matter, and by these organizations, and I never want another child to feel that way again. And Michaela Maroney mentioned this, so often survivors already question themselves. They distrust how they feel. And that is something that I went through, and especially because the FBI made me feel like my abuse didn't count and it wasn't a big deal. And I remember sitting there with the FBI agent and him trying to convince me that it wasn't that bad. And it's taken me years of therapy to realize that my abuse was bad, that it does matter. And so I think it's really important to also have education and prevention in the sport as well. I don't see these organizations doing enough to have every single staff member, every single athlete, every single parent, guardian, every single person that walks into a gym, I believe should be educated to prevent and recognize emotional, physical, sexual, mental abuse, everything in between, because if we don't have an investigation and we don't have education and prevention, then this problem and this nightmare is going to keep happening over and over again.
Anybody else care to? Should I assume you all?
Heroes and stars and role models for many young men and women around the country, and your courage obviously is impressive to all of us on this committee, but so is your grace and daring, your athleticism, your grace and daring as people, and your determination not to be defined by the abuse that you suffered, and to seek help, which should be also a model to others. A number of you have made reference to the therapy that you have sought, which also takes courage. But you have been involved in a sport that often involves injuries, physical injuries, and the abuse you suffered involves emotional injuries that you are seeking to treat as you would any physical injury. I would like to ask you, I know at least one of the athletes in the room was abused after July 2015. Let me just ask each of you, you can answer yes or no, whether you know of athletes that were abused by Larry Nassar after July 2015, during the 18-month period when the FBI did nothing. You can just say, yes, you do. If you want to tell me how many, if you know. If not, just yes or no. Ms. Biles?
Yes.
Kaylee Lorenz?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Yeah, Kaylee Lorenz is here today, and she was abused after I spoke out.
Yes. Yes, I've met many of them. And I also just want to be clear that in the time that I had reported my abuse to USA Gymnastics, I followed up many, many times. My mom would follow up for me a lot of the time because I'm sure, as you can imagine, it was so hard for me, but also I was so scared because of the positions of power. And we followed up so many times, and we were constantly told that they were working on it. The most important thing was to keep it confidential, not to tell anyone. They even told me not really to talk about it with Michaela Maroney, give her breathing room. And so I thought that it was being handled, and so I can't express to you, when you're told by the president of USA Gymnastics at the time, Steve Penny, that they're handling it, they got it. I didn't know they were going to mishandle it and cover it up like they have. And when they're telling me they're talking to FBI and they should be reaching out soon, I unfortunately believed them. And I can't tell you how horrifying it is to meet young girls who look up to me, who watched me compete in the Olympics, and tell me that they went to see Nassar because of me and my teammates, because they wanted to see the Olympic doctor. And I guess in his office, Nassar's office, he had some photos of us. And so they went to see him because they thought it was so cool to have the same doctor as us. And so that's been one of the hardest and most devastating parts for me, is so many survivors suffer with guilt and shame. And so it takes everything I have. Taking the blame for that, because it's horrific,